to Fort McMurray Matters, keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Culligan Water,
Fort McMurray Orthodontics,
and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Steph Seidel. In today's show, we're going to continue providing updates around COVID-19. First, we'll hear from Premier Jason Kenney, addressing Alberta from his press conference yesterday afternoon.
In our province and across Canada and around the world, the number of novel coronavirus infections and fatalities continues to rise. Before I get to Alberta's numbers, I'd like to try to alleviate some of the anxiety we're all feeling by sharing some modestly encouraging data. As of today, March 25th, there are about 440,000 reported cases of infection around the world. While there have been nearly 20,000 deaths attributed to the virus, the Johns Hopkins Center for Systems Science is also reporting 112,000 recovered cases. And the vast majority of infected patients exhibit mild or, in many cases, no symptoms. We are starting to record recoveries from COVID-19 here in Alberta and across Canada. Yesterday, British Columbia reported that 173 patients, nearly a third of the total number of infected, have fully recovered. Moreover, countries like South Korea, Singapore, Taiwan, Hong Kong, and Japan, which implemented strong countermeasures early in the outbreak, have been very successful in containing the rate of new infections. So the evidence strongly points to a dangerous but manageable public health crisis. Thanks to excellent pandemic planning and swift action by Dr. Hinshaw and her public health team at Alberta Health, together with the great healthcare teams at Alberta Health Services, we're managing the early stages of the outbreak in Alberta effectively, much more effectively than in many other jurisdictions around the world. The best measure of Alberta's response is that we currently rank fourth in world per capita testing, that is to say the fourth highest in the world on a per capita level for the incidence of testing. That said, the number of confirmed cases in Alberta has risen by 61 over the last 24 hours, bringing the total number of confirmed infections to 419. Early this month, we launched a series of aggressive public health measures to limit the spread of the virus, including restrictions on mass gatherings, closure of many facilities, and restricting capacity at restaurants and other food service locations. Recognizing that international travel was a primary vector for transmission in the early stages of this pandemic, we moved to augment federal efforts to screen passengers at our major airports. Many of these actions were supported by invoking a state of public health emergency under the Public Health Act. Municipal governments and First Nations have been doing their part to support these containment efforts, and I'd like to thank mayors, councillors, First Nations chief, and administrators across the province for their good work. We strengthened this intergovernmental partnership by passing amendments to the Emergency Management Act, allowing local and provincial states of emergency to exist at the same time, helping communities and the province to respond more effectively to the pandemic. We've also partnered with municipalities and charities to expand shelter, assessment, and treatment capacity for the homeless who are uniquely at risk during the crisis. Yesterday, I visited Hope Mission here in Edmonton, the largest homeless shelter in northern Alberta, and saw their good work. With the additional funding we provided them, they are setting up overflow shelters today, and an additional overflow shelter being set up at the Expo Center, together with the overflow shelters being established in Calgary and other cities around the province. And I can tell you, this is a matter of particular focus for the Emergency Management Committee of Cabinet. At every meeting, we are discussing what more action needs to be taken to help protect that uniquely vulnerable population. The legislature passed the 2020 budget in record time so that we have now more than $21 billion to support our healthcare system, including the additional $500 million specifically for COVID-19 response. We also introduced new billing codes for doctors so they can do more virtual visits with their patients, as well as a new billing code for pharmacists to allow them to take on a bigger role in screening for the virus. Underlying all of these efforts has been a systematic effort by Alberta Health Services to ramp up the capacity of our healthcare system to deal with the projected increase of hospitalizations. This includes marshalling all available personnel and vast amounts of supplies, including personal protective equipment and ventilators, and increasing availability of childcare spaces for workers, providing core healthcare and other services. And let me just add that while AHS has been very forward-looking well before this in developing large stockpiles of critical equipment and supplies, we have tasked the Alberta Emergency Management Agency, now operating out of the Provincial Operations Center, with coordinating the procurement of additional supplies to be shared with people working in essential services outside the healthcare system itself. So that would include staff at homeless shelters, police officers, correctional officers, and people in other essential services. There is also ongoing work on defining critical infrastructure and essential services. We'll have more news on that front later this week.
Once again, that was Premier Jason Kenney addressing the province yesterday afternoon. I'm Steph Seidel. This is Fort McMurray Matters. We're going to take our first break, but when we come back, we'll hear more from Premier Jason Kenney.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Culligan Water,
Fort McMurray Orthodontics,
and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Culligan Water,
Fort McMurray Orthodontics,
and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Steph Seidel. If you're just tuning into the show right now, we're hearing from Premier Jason Kenney, talking about the latest measures the province is taking to combat COVID-19.
I should say that today I'm pleased to be here with Dr. Hinshaw to announce further measures to contain the spread of COVID-19. The overwhelming majority of Albertans have been very responsible and civic-minded in responding to this crisis. Most of us understand that we all have a role to play in limiting the spread of the disease by staying at home as much as possible, practicing rigorous personal hygiene, maintaining a safe distance from other people, and respecting the restrictions that have been put in place to limit social interaction. But sadly, not everyone seems to get it. Too many people continue to ignore these guidelines that have been issued by Dr. Hinshaw and the government of Alberta. As I said before, too many people are ignoring our public health guidelines, and in so doing, they endanger the health of others, particularly the most vulnerable. So, today we are moving from asking people to act responsibly to instead using the full force of the law to legally that require that people act responsibly to protect public health. Through amendments to the procedures regulation under the Provincial Offences Procedures Act, community peace officers, in addition to police, will now be able to issue tickets to enforce COVID-19 public health orders. These provisions include the current limit on mass gatherings to 50 attendees, and mandatory self-isolation for people in the following circumstances: any individual diagnosed with COVID-19 or exhibiting the symptoms of COVID-19, such as cough and fever; anyone returning to Alberta from outside of Canada; and all of those who have had close contact with an individual who is confirmed or probable case of COVID-19. To be clear, returning international travelers must self-isolate for 14 days, or they will be subject to the newly imposed significant penalties. All others, including confirmed or probable cases of COVID infection and those in contact with confirmed or probable cases, must self-isolate for at least 10 days. These legally binding rules include operational daycares, except for those for whom we are making exceptions to support critical care workers and core service workers; public recreational facilities, bars and nightclubs, and non-essential visits to continuing care and long-term care facilities. So if you violate the rules that we have laid down, you will now be subject to stringent penalties and fines with rigorous enforcement behind them. To drive home the importance of everyone adhering to these laws for the protection of public health, community peace officers and police will be able to issue fines of up to $1,000 per violation through tickets. We are consulting with municipalities as well on the possibility of expanding these enforcement powers to municipal bylaw officers. Courts will also have increased powers to administer fines of up to $100,000 for a first offense and up to $500,000 for a subsequent offense or for more serious violations. These new fines will be in force over the coming days. These new enforcement measures are a reasonable, prudent, but necessary response to the escalating COVID-19 outbreak in Alberta. These powers are being enforced through a ministerial order under the public health emergency, but we will be coming to the legislature in the near future to seek to actually make the necessary amendments on a permanent basis. When life returns to normal, we will no longer require these kinds of extraordinary powers. But right now, we must use every tool available to ensure public safety.
Once again, that was Premier Jason Kenney. We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but when we come back, we'll be hearing from Dr. Dina Hinshaw, Alberta's Chief Medical Officer of Health, with updates on COVID-19 measures for the province.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Culligan Water,
Fort McMurray Orthodontics,
and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Culligan Water,
Fort McMurray Orthodontics,
and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Steph Seidel. If you're just tuning into the show, we're about to hear from Dr. Dina Hinshaw, Alberta's Chief Medical Officer of Health, with updates from the province about COVID-19 announced yesterday afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you all for coming. As Premier indicated, since yesterday's update, we have confirmed 61 new cases of COVID-19. This means 419 cases have now been identified in our province. We suspect up to 33 of the 419 cases may be community transmission, which is 5 more than we talked about yesterday. Currently, 20 individuals are hospitalized, of whom 8 are in the ICU. These are significant case numbers, and they underscore the seriousness of the situation that we face. Late last night, we learned of an outbreak of COVID-19 at an adult group home for people with developmental disabilities. So far, one staff and 2 residents have tested positive. We are also aware of 9 cases to date in staff and residents of long-term care or other continuing care facilities. This includes the 4 previously reported plus 2 additional cases at the Mackenzie Town facility in Calgary, as well as 1 case in Rosedale on the Park and 2 at Shepherd's Care Kensington Village in Edmonton Zone. I know that many Albertans are concerned about these cases and about the spread of COVID-19. I am concerned as well, which is why, as Premier Kenney has outlined, public health orders will now be enforced by law. This step is essential to protect the health and safety of Albertans. Alberta's enforcement of public health orders is in addition to the decision of the federal government to implement a mandatory 14-day quarantine under the Quarantine Act for travelers returning to Canada. This step is serious and it is necessary. We must do everything possible to stop the spread of COVID-19, to support our healthcare workers, and to keep our family, friends, neighbors, and vulnerable Albertans safe. As I have previously mentioned, people living in long-term care and other continuing care facilities are most at risk of severe illness from this virus. Over the past 2 days, despite the aggressive measures already in place, it's become clear that additional measures are needed. It is up to all of us to do everything we can to prevent the spread of this virus and to keep vulnerable populations safe. This is one reason for the enforcement of the public health orders. In addition, We restricted access last week to these facilities to only essential visitors, all of whom must undergo health screening prior to entering. The Ministry of Community and Social Services has communicated with the Alberta Council of Disability Services that this also applies to licensed facilities for persons with disabilities. Today, I am ordering additional directions that all healthcare operators and service providers must follow. Facilities under this order include all nursing homes, designated supportive living and long-term care facilities, seniors' lodges, and any facility in which residential addiction treatment services are offered under the Mental Health Services Protection Act. These new guidelines are mandatory. They will help keep those living and working in congregate settings as safe as possible. This includes new expectations that every facility must follow enhanced cleaning and additional directions around the use of shared spaces and common activities. They also outline mandatory health screening protocols for all staff, residents, and essential visitors entering a facility. An updated operational standards document will be made available on the COVID-19 webpage shortly and will also be distributed to service providers and operators. As new cases arise, I know that some Albertans may be feeling tired of the constant barrage of information, and they may be wondering what more they can do. The answer is simple. We must all do everything possible to follow all public health recommendations in place. All of us have a role and a responsibility to stop the spread, and there are actions that all of us can take. These extend to our homes, our families, and our traditions. For example, we need to limit sharing of open food, even between family members. Don't share snacks like a family popcorn bowl, open candy, nuts, or other snacks like this. Limit the availability of a communal fruit bowl. Don't share cups, drinks, or utensils, and have one person as the designated person to serve all others so that a serving utensil is handled only by one person. This direction became abundantly clear following the Edmonton bond spiel, where almost half of Alberta healthcare workers in attendance have tested positive for COVID. We suspect the virus was spread at a buffet where serving spoons were handled by many people. I know it might seem strange to limit these activities in your own home. However, this is important modeling that we as parents can share with our children, and it is another step that we can take to keep each other safe. Wash your hands, disinfect surfaces often. Include this in your daily household routine and make it part of the new normal for your children also. I know many Albertans are now at home with kids or working from home. These are big changes for everyone, and you may start to feel closed in. Families may need to find creative ways to keep children occupied. One suggestion is to partner with a cohort family, where both families agree to isolate from everyone else and to focus on supporting each other. By doing this, the two families would only be exposed to each other, limiting close contacts. Children would have opportunities to play in a controlled environment, and parents would have opportunities to connect. I must be clear, this only works if both families are completely committed, and as long as members in both families remain healthy, don't have underlying medical conditions, aren't at high risk like seniors, have not recently traveled outside of the country, and are not showing any symptoms. Another change we need to make is in our traditions. There are several significant religious and cultural holidays approaching, such as Easter and Ramadan. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to talk to provincial faith leaders about how plans for these celebrations will need to change. Now is not the time to plan any travel, even to other cities or provinces, or to attend large family gatherings or dinners. We must maintain social distancing practices, even when we are together with family. Now is not the time to visit grandparents for Sunday dinner. Now is not the time to host or attend a potluck with friends. Now is not the time to plan for a family reunion. This is the time to stay home and work together to limit the spread. Please practice good hygiene and keep 2 meters between you and others. Many families and groups of friends have been using shared video chat to stay in touch while at home. This is a great way to connect. If you have been using any other ways to connect remotely with family or friends that you want to share with others, please share them with the Alberta Cares hashtag so we can all learn from each other the creative ways we can stay socially connected while physically distant. As I've said before, we will get through this together, even if for now we have to stay far apart.
Once again, that was Dr. Dina Hinshaw, Alberta's Chief Medical Officer of Health, talking about the latest measures Alberta is taking to combat the virus. Dr. Dina Hinshaw will address the province again later this afternoon. If you're looking for more information, make sure you head to the Mix News page. That's all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters, but make sure you tune in to Mix 103.7 every weekday at noon. I'm Steph Seidel, and this has been Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode?
Download the podcast at mix1037fm.com.